saints, come to Calvary's holy mountain where you have healing and peace and joy in the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. As we sing, "Come to Calvary's holy mountain," we consider a story that Jesus tells of those he wanted to come, but they did not come. We consider Luke chapter 14. I'll read again sections here, our gospel reading. Jesus said to them, "A man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent out his servant to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses." Dear saints, think of some people that you want to be with. And now think of some people that you don't want to be with. And now think of some people that you have to be with. It does not take much of a reason for you to excuse yourself from someone that you don't want to be with and that you don't have to be with. And sometimes we are looking for a good excuse to, or at least what we might think is a good excuse, to not be with the people that we don't want to be with but have to be with. Next time you see my parents, you can ask them what excuses I came up with for not going to school in the 7th and the 8th grade. I was a very sick child. Dear saints, Jesus has us considering excuses today. A man gave a great banquet. He invited many. He had prepared everything. He sent out his servant to say, "Come, for everything is now ready." But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, "I've bought a field. I must go out and see it. Please have me excused." And another said, "I've bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to examine them. Please have me excused." And another said, "I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come." And the specifics are important. That will be a different sermon. Today, dear saints, we will consider this very one simple point. They didn't want to be there. They did not want to be with the man who threw this great banquet. He wanted them there. He had invited them. He had prepared everything for them. Everything is now ready. Come, he sent out his servant and he said, "Come, everything is now ready and it is time." He wanted them there. They didn't want to be with them. The movement of the parable is so simple. It is him going after them and them not just staying put, but of going the other way. I go to see the field. I go to see my oxen. They wanted to be with someone else. They wanted to be somewhere else. So they all alike began to make excuses. Our Lord reveals in his word an amazing thing. He wants to be with you. He created you. You have life because he wants to be with you. And you have eternal life because he wants to be with you forever. And he gives you his word. He wants you to hear it. And he wants you to know that he wants to hear you. You have his wisdom. The Old Testament reading was all about wisdom. And wisdom is a person. Wisdom isn't a thing or a philosophical thought or a way of thinking. Wisdom is Jesus. Wisdom is a person, and he influences how we think, and he influences how we see the rest of this world. But wisdom created the feast, and wisdom is saying, come, I will show you how to speak, and I will show you how to love others, and I will tell you the promises that I have for you, that I want to hear you, and that I want to listen to you, and that I want to be with you, to feed you, and for you to be joyous in me. And too often we make excuses. The excuses are many and various. You have heard them, and you have said them, and you have thought them. And the details of your specific excuses of not wanting to be with Jesus or walk in his ways or do his will or hear his promises or begin to do his commands, they are many and they are various, but we won't go into the detail. You go into the detail for you yourself. But it is this very one simple point. We don't want to. We would rather be saying and thinking and doing what someone else wants us to say, think, and do, or believing what someone else wants us to believe in the promises, and that someone else is so often me, what I want to do. And we cannot be two places at once. To be with wisdom, our reading said, was to leave the simple ways. To be at the feast means to not be with the oxen. It means to not be with the wife, or to bring the wife with you to the feast. And when we don't want these things, there is something that our Lord is telling us that is deeply wrong with what we want. And Jesus has this warning for us today. That if we want to continue to go the other way, he might let us. And then we will be without him. And we have no idea of the pain and of the misery of what it is to be without God. The master of the feast becomes angry. Jesus ends the parable with this warning: I tell you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet. And this is not what your God desires. He desires for you to be with him. He desires to share his wisdom with you. He desires that you know that he completely loves you, and that he completely accepts you, and that he completely forgives you, and that he wants to be with you. And this is beyond our understanding. Because as we begin to consider this feast that has been prepared, we can begin to think about the many excuses that God would have for not wanting to be with us. Like you've already rejected him and told him no too many times. And you've already said that you didn't exactly want to be with him or to listen to him or to love him above all things or to love your neighbor as yourself. He knows that we too often think we know better than him and that we cannot possibly repay him. That he has prepared this massive feast, what could we possibly give back to him? And more than that, we owe. We owe a debt that we cannot possibly repay. So am I telling you that he really wants to be with you? And that he really wants you in his house? And that he really wants to eat with you and to drink with you and to teach you and to listen to you? Yes! That is amazing. And that is wonderful. It is so amazing that God did not give excuses He gave his son so that he can be with you. He is Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, to save us. He knows that we too often don't want to be with him, and he knows that that is in our ignorance and our stupidity, and that we are hurting ourselves. And so he came to be with us, with his healing and his peace and his joy. He knew that we owed a debt that we could not possibly repay, so he paid for everything. He is the one at the end of the dinner that says, "It's on me." He is the one that says, "Your sin, that's on me. And the wrath of God that you deserve, that's on me." He has not only paid for everything, he has purchased you. You belong to him. Come, everything is now ready. Jesus cries out from the cross that it is finished. Everything is done. For you to be accepted by God, for God to be at peace with you, and for you to be with him now and forever. And because everything was finished on the cross, Jesus sends out his apostles to announce that. And he sends out his apostolic church to announce that. And he sends out his pastors to announce that. We Christians are messengers. It is not about us, but it is about the man who throws the feast, who paid for everything. It is about the God-man who finished everything and wants everybody with him. He wants them to be compelled to join them. He wants the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame, the ones he know can't repay him, because he wants to be with them. So come to church and hear often of what you are. An excuse maker, of someone who sometimes doesn't want to be with Jesus or to listen to Jesus, and that sometimes you have no idea how much that is hurting you and how much that is hurting the ones around you. And then hear this, that you are the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame. That we sometimes don't know how helpless we are or how bad we are without God in his word and the pastors who preach it. And then hear this, that your Jesus, who is the master of the feast, wants the poor, and he wants the crippled, and he wants the blind, and he wants the lame, and he wants them to be brought in because they cannot bring themselves. And when they are brought in, they are given new clothes and holy baptism. And they are given an amazing feast in the Lord's Supper. And they are given a new way of seeing God and his mercy and his peace and forgiveness and themselves and the world and suffering. And they are given new strength and power to begin to walk in God's will and in his ways. They are given a new life. They are different after the feast, and that we begin to want to be with him too. So rejoice, dear saints, that you have new clothes. And rejoice all that much more considering what you brought in today. And rejoice, dear saints, that you have a feast that is the body and blood of Jesus shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. And rejoice all that much more considering the many sins and excuses and rebellion that you have brought with you. And consider again that you have wisdom. Jesus himself, your wisdom, your sanctification, your righteousness. And rejoice all that much more considering how foolish you have been. and rejoice that he wants to be with you. Now and forever. And may that joy again ignite in you a desire to want to be with him. In Jesus' name, amen.